Certainly thankful for your presence today. I know it's a little messy outside, has been for a while, but we still should be thankful to God for allowing us to be here and giving us this rain. We will have sunshine. We will have hot weather. But I'm thankful that we're having some cool weather and maybe even until Easter Sunday, which is a couple of Sundays away. But the Lord provides, and we're very grateful for what he does provide for us. Have you ever heard of the Rock of Gibraltar? It's a very large limestone rock. At its highest point is 1,398 feet. It is found near the southwestern tip of Europe on the Iberian Peninsula. It is surrounded by the Mediterranean Sea. In mythology, it is known as one of the Pillars of Hercules. To the Romans, it was known as Mons Calp. In 1942, in World War II, there were over 30,000 British soldiers, sailors, and airmen on the rock to prevent a possible German attack. In 1948, it became the logo for the Prudential Life Insurance of America. But it is best known for the saying, as solid as the Rock of Gibraltar, to describe an entity or a person that is rock solid. There are a number of names by which God is known, particularly in the Old Testament. He's known as just God. A name of divinity, a name of glory. He's known as Redeemer. He's known as El Shaddai. He's known as Yahweh. And on we could go. But the name that I want to talk about today is the Rock. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 3 through 4, I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God, the Rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. In that same chapter, a few verses down, in verses 17 and 18, they sacrificed to demons who were not God, to gods whom they have not known, new gods who came lately, whom your fathers did not dread. You neglected the Rock who begot you and forgot the God who gave you birth. You might remember in the story in 1 Samuel chapter 2, how that Hannah had pled for a child, how that God promised her a child. And we read in that particular chapter in verses 1 and 2, Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides you, nor is there any rock like our God." So you think about what the rock symbolizes. It symbolizes strength. In times when we may not feel strong at all. It symbolizes stability in times which we may feel that we are not stable in our own lives in some way. But certainly God is our rock. And God's word is our stronghold. In a passage that is probably more familiar than some of the others that we looked at, in Psalm 19, beginning in verse 7, David spoke the words of this song to the Lord in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I got ahead of myself, didn't I? And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. Again, now, looking at Psalm 19, the passage that we're more familiar with. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So certainly we know that we have even developed a song from that particular passage. And then there's the passage in Psalm 61, beginning in verse 1. Hear my cry, O God. Give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. And you obviously realize that there was a song developed from this passage as well. A song, older song, that we don't sing very often anymore, but the words are certainly meaningful to us. Oh, sometimes the shadows are deep, and rough seems the path to the goal, and sorrows sometimes how they sweep like tempest down over the soul. Oh, sometimes how long seems the day, and sometimes how weary my feet, but toiling in life's dusty way, the rock's blessed shadow, how sweet. Oh, then to the rock let me fly, to the rock that is higher than I. Oh, then to the rock let me fly, to the rock that is higher than I. Oh, near to the rock let me keep, if blessings or sorrow prevail, or climbing the mountain waist steep, or walking the shadowy vale. Oh, then to the rock let me fly, to the rock that is higher than I. Oh, then to the rock let me fly, to the rock that is higher than I. Certainly that song, the title of it is The Rock That Is Higher Than I. It was written by Erastus Johnson. Certainly God is higher than we are. And God is the symbol of all strength and all power. And we can depend upon God. He is immovable. He's unshakable. And certainly he is the power to whom we look. Now we come more to the New Testament, and we think of the rock or the stone. And they often refer to either God or to Jesus Christ himself. In the book of Daniel, obviously in the Old Testament, Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar what he had dreamed and the meaning of his dream. It was a prophecy of the four kingdoms, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And it was a prophecy of the establishment of God's kingdom, that is, the church, which would last for all times, even as it has thus far. And we're told in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 35, the stone that struck the statue, and that would be Rome, became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. So it was during the Roman Empire that the church came about, and it was during the Roman Empire that certainly God's kingdom on earth was begun. Now, when Peter made his great confession in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said that Peter's confession was a divine declaration. It wasn't something that Peter developed on his own. It was something that was told to him by God. He said, "You are Peter, and upon this rock, this confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." Jesus declared on another occasion that not everyone who said, "Lord, Lord," would enter the kingdom of heaven. And he stated the criteria for salvation. He said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them or does them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock." Our faith, the Lord's church, was established on the fact that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. Jesus went on to say that everyone who heard his words but did not act on them or did not do them would be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And when the rains fell, the flood came, the wind slammed against that house, it would fall. As Becky and I were traveling here this morning, we were on FM 16 and coming down, and there was a huge tree that had fallen. The reason it had fallen, I think, is because there was so much rain. It did not have the roots that would hold it into the ground. It almost fell on a trailer house. If it had done that, it would have destroyed that house. But we see that he compares those who don't have the faith that they should have, who don't do the things that they ought to do in following after his will. They are like a house that's built on the sand. And you know that in the thunderstorms that we've had and undoubtedly are still going to have for a period of time, during those storms, a house would fall, a house would be destroyed. And he said, that's the way it is with people who do not build on the rock, who do not build on God, who do not build on the confession that Jesus is the Christ. The very same rock that is refuge and salvation to Christians is also a stumbling block to all who refuse to believe. Paul said that the things which occurred in the Old Testament were examples for us, an instruction to us, to keep us from falling as the Israelites did. And he stated this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. He said earlier in that chapter, beginning in verse 1, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now think of that. He's talking about Moses. He's talking about the children of Israel going through the Red Sea. And he says, the rock was Christ. Christ had not come to earth then. But Christ was still in existence then. He says the rock was Christ, and the rock is Christ today. The Jews, the very covenant people of God, were cut off from God's tree of life. And Paul wrote in Romans chapter 9 why this was so. Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone or the stumbling rock, just as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. Well, we see this today, every day. Those of us who are believers in God and believers in Jesus Christ, we believe that he is the rock of our salvation. And those who are not believers in God and in Jesus Christ, to them, God and Christ, Christianity, the church, is a stumbling block to them. Rather lengthy reading in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. Coming to him as to a living stone. You don't think of stones as living, do you? But he is the living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. And you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, for they stumble because they are disobedient to the word. And to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy. Now you have received mercy. We are those Gentiles. We are the people who were not the chosen or covenant people of God originally, through which the law came, the ordinances of God. But he says here, now you are. You are the chosen, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. You once were not the people of God, but now you are the people of God. He's talking to you and me. He's talking to Christians. We are the people of God. We are the ones who are in a covenant relationship with the rock. God, the rock. Jesus Christ, the rock. The confession that Jesus is the Son of God, the rock. And the church, which is the rock of salvation. Again, I refer to Psalm 19 that we looked at earlier. And the last verse that we looked at, and sometimes sing a song relative to this. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. There are a lot of things that the world tells us that we can put our faith and trust in that won't stand the test of time. But God will. Have you put your faith, your complete trust and faith in the rock, the power, the strength, the stability of God? Or are you still placing your faith in yourself or in things that are of the world? Let God be your rock. Let God be your redeemer. If there's anyone who needs to come forward this morning to accept Jesus Christ, to be baptized into him for the forgiveness of your sins, or to have the prayers of those who are brothers and sisters in Christ, we encourage you to come while we stand and sing.